Hey everyone, again, I'm Celine. I'm a designer and entrepreneur. I do consulting with the company Birsel Plus Tech. It's a design and innovation studio based in New York, as well as I have a startup called Knock Knock City, which I might have mentioned all throughout Alt MBA course. It's a network orchestrating platform for travelers to leave their bags and luggage for a few hours when they're in the city at local shops that's around. So I will do a share screen because a lot of the designers are very visual, and you know, I prepared like a little slideshow. So let me know if you can see it, maybe like a thumbs up. Okay, perfect. So new ways to apply design thinking in our work. You know, design thinking is a word or a phrase that's used very often and sometimes without really knowing what it is or how it could be applicable, especially for people who think they're not creative themselves. So I'm here to break down that conception and preconception. A little bit about me, as I mentioned, I'm a designer and entrepreneur. Knock Knock City is my startup. We work with design the life you love, so bringing design thinking approach and how you can implement it into your own life. And then I do a lot of talks about, you know, entrepreneurship and design in Fordham, and Airbnb host meetup was the recent one. So design thinking literally means thinking like a designer, which means using design process to solve complex problems. So when I say, what is design? What do people think design is? I get a lot of answers, from furniture to jewelry to fashion. And these are all correct. These are all the products of design. But in truth, design is a process. It's a discipline which helps the creation of these products. And it's a big industry. There's a lot of different segments: the graphic, fashion, interior, UX, UI, service design. They all share the same principles and same process. It's just a different end result. So I will start with industrial design, not because that's what I studied, but because it's the whole concept of design thinking actually rose from industrial design, when this company IDEO, which you may all have heard of, was a product development firm some 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and then realized that their solution is so applicable for other industries as well that they started taking this approach to bigger problems such as healthcare, government, education, and really created the concept that we call today design thinking. Now, I will walk you through 5 steps of what this process is, and each of these steps is a portion that you can apply to your own work as a holistically, or you can just take parts and pieces of this presentation. Now, the most important thing is finding the right problem. A lot of the startups fail, a lot of corporates don't succeed in selling a new launching a new line because they believe they did the perfect product for the problem they assumed to be there, which turns out wasn't right. The problem to begin with that you're solving has to be the right problem. And the best way to figure that out is to observe the users, seeing what customers want. Relying on data is very important to give out where's the problem, but it's not revealing the real cause of the problem. So when we find out, when we figure out the problem, it's very important to find the cause of it. There's a famous quote by Henry Ford. They said, if I asked my customers what they wanted, they said faster horses. And here the cause was that people wanted to be fast, moving from one point to another in a speedy manner. And second was that they wanted something affordable, horse, it's something achievable. He didn't try to design a faster horse. Instead, he presented a solution that addresses the same root of the problem. And these are some of the questions that you could be asking. What is the indirect problem? What are the components? Breaking down a problem into its individual parts are very important to figure out, and breaking the links in between them. Who does the problem affect? Which brings me to a trick that you can use, making a user persona. This is something we learned in Alt MBA about, you know, making a journey, a user map, an empathy map. It's something designers use a lot. To put ourselves in the shoes of the user, we have to understand some of the data points, like what's their job, how old they are, where they live. But more importantly, what are their behaviors? What are their needs? What are their goals? So here you make a profile. You put yourself in the shoes of Rob, for example. And what is Rob looking to get? How is the problem affecting Rob? And this is a way to get to this point, which is making a user journey. The user journey really helps us get in the shoes of the user and figure out what the right problem is. This is an example that I've done when we were figuring out Knock Knock City problems, so a problem that traveler faces when they're staying in Airbnb or a similar vacation rental. So it doesn't have to be well designed. It can literally be a straight line with points on it. The important part is to capture every single interaction moment that a user, Rob, in this case, is going through. They book a spot, they book, you know, a listing, they arrive, they take the flight, they walk, they come to the city, they eat here. The more specific and detailed you get, the better it is to find the results. Now, after doing the journey map, we have an idea of who the person is and what they're doing in this period of time. The second important thing to understand is figuring out the high points and the low points. Within this time frame, what are the specific moments of interaction that are really enhancing the experience of the user? And what are the points that is making it difficult, creating friction, causing a problem? Analyzing this, and it could be in a different scale. It could be very specific to this, like 5 minutes of a person's life, versus it could be a whole event of person's lifetime. If it's maybe an insurance company who's trying to find a solution, they might be looking at a certain period, tens of years of a person's time. So it's really adjustable. And once you find the low points, you can start the ideation process. Where can we tap into those low points for people to find a solution or to present them with a relief? Which brings me to our second step out of the five, which is gathering inspiration. So a big portion of gathering inspiration is looking outside of your field. It's personally what I find to be very successful is when I'm not looking for the industry or the area or kind of the group of people who's very directly relevant to the problem, but look at nature. You know, biomimicry, it brings great solutions to many big companies. Look at other industries, other products, other areas. Even I really recommend to like go out and do stuff with your friends or yourself. Just go walk, you know, do a barbecue, but really be aware of how things that you're experiencing can bring hints to the solution that you might be creating with your problem at work. There's a great quote by Tim Brown, the CEO of IDEO, who says design thinking is neither art nor science nor religion. It's the capacity ultimately for integrative thinking. So really integrating different parts and pieces of areas can bring the innovative solution. And two examples here, one is the Nike Flyknits. You know, Nike have built this socks-like shoe that's very comfortable, and they cross-fertilized comfort and flexibility in movement with this very ancient technique of knitting. So they brought the shoe and knitting together to bring up this very innovative shoe. The second one is a project that I've actually done, which was to have salad dressings without all the plastic waste, because it's one of the most consumed products. And I found my inspiration in spherification, which is like this molecular gastronomy term, and dehydration. And when dehydrating that sphere, it formed its own membrane around the sauce, as you can see here, which was a solution to eliminating plastic completely and just using the dressing and having it biodegrade. So as you can see here, I have no connection, nothing with molecular gastronomy. So research is also a very big part of it. Looking for inspiration and doing research in different areas will help you find the right hints to later bring them together and form a solution, which is step number three, ideation. So there's actually a NASA study that found that we lose 96% of our creativity from when we were a child. And most of that is because of the education system that we go through and how convergent it is. So we're very trained to think convergently and rationally and the left brain heavy, which is very counterintuitive to our step three, ideation. In ideation, we think very openly. We think about creating ideas, not judging at all, thinking very positive, building on each other's ideas. Even if it's a bad idea, we found that most good ideas come from building on the bad ones. So ideate, asking what if questions. This what if is a very trigger point. What if this happened? What if we did that? What about this? And don't judge ideas. Again, judgmental brain, as Seth says, the lizard brain is our worst enemy when we're designing any solution to any product or any, you know, situation. Here's an example. I mentioned my startup, Knock Knock City. We work with local shops to store the bags and luggage of travelers and commuters and people on the go. You know, in the beginning, this idea didn't appear like that. We were thinking maybe we use people's houses. At first it was maybe we'll pay rent to each of the locations. And then we're like, we can't do that. So we started ideating, what if people stored it in their homes? You know, intuitively it says, no, it's not secure, it's not safe. But we didn't say that. We built on it, which we made it at a level of businesses and provide security seals and all of these extra ideas, insurance, etc., to prevent the security issue. But we still pursued the idea that came, that would have been, if we shut it down before, we wouldn't have come up with this business model, basically. So really building on bad ideas is how you find the right solution. And then we're at the point of, okay, there's like 1,000 ideas on the board. You know, in second week of Alt MBA, I think it was, or the first week, we had to come up with the 99 business ideas. That's the right way to produce. But then narrowing it down and making them tangible is step number 4. What's important here is to, as you can see, I said constraining, understanding the constraints. Understanding the constraints didn't come in step 3, which was ideation. It came in step 4. So first, it's very important to feel like there is nothing stopping you. There is no problems that can eliminate your solution to come real. And then at level 4 afterwards, you're like, okay, these are the constraints. These are the ideas we have. How can we find a solution that's in between them? How can we frame our ideas within the constraints that we have? And then bring it into a minimum viable product. So in a product sense, that could be a very basic prototype. In a service design, it could be a very quick pop-up that you even do within your company or that you test out. In a digital sense, it could be a very quickly put together like WordPress website. Something that's quick and easy to get it out there for people to understand your idea and see if it's something that they actually want. An example we do is co-design. So this is another trick that you can use. At Beersell Plus Sec, the innovation studio, we bring in our clients in our office and we tell them we're going to find a solution together. And we explain this whole process and we make the ideas, as you can see on the board, there's a bunch of ideas that our clients themselves have created. So using your users, your user group, your target audience, and integrating them, not at the end, at the presentation point, but at the beginning where you're actually creating the solutions, can be very helpful to staying in users' shoes because the users are there to help you. And the fifth point, the last one is testing. Testing is very important. A lot of investment can be made without testing. And it could be, you know, it wouldn't be a working proven concept that would just trash all your efforts. So asking for feedback and being open to it, doing qualitative and quantitative testings, and learning from people, not to start all over again, but to make moderations on your product and pivoting based on what you're hearing from people is very, very important. So to summarize, these 5 points, finding the right cause of the problem, gathering inspiration by looking at other industries and putting them on the sides of your head as points where you can just take and mix and match. Third is ideating creatively and making a pool of solutions, something that looks like the picture here, and narrowing down on your solutions after creating them and understanding the constraints to really fit the solutions in there. And finally, testing with your users is what a design process looks like. Now, it's even applicable to your life because we bring this process into understanding your own life. And let me just go back for a moment. What's the problem? For example, breaking your life down into its components. my family, my friends, my work. And then gathering inspiration, where else are the points that I like? Like, who are my heroes that I can look up to? What are some of the activities that I would really like to integrate? Putting these around your life, and then just ideating solutions about how you could be shifting the point of view of which you see your life, and reconstructing it back with your new gained perspective, and then testing it, like trying a week of something is a way that we do it. It sounds very abstract. It's a book, it's an online course. You know, you can look it up on Google and Amazon and really walk yourself through it. But it's basically bringing design thinking approach, the process that I just mentioned, into even your own life, which is your biggest project. So that's the overview of how design thinking and its parts can be helpful for your work, making a user persona, making the journey, highlighting the low and high points, and then going through all these steps